Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 69 of the Functioning Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my compatriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Wow, did I wake you this morning?
No, I was up.
Yeah, you've been up early, apparently. You texted me, hey, do you want to record early today? I'm like, no, I'm busy.
I was a little afraid that if we took too long, I would fall asleep.
Wow, how long have you been up?
Only an hour, but I was up late last night at a bachelor party.
Oh, the bachelor party.
Yeah.
I've heard about bachelor parties in Jackson. Those are crazy.
Oh, they're the craziest. Like, everybody, that's what everybody says. Like, you got to go to Jackson for your bachelor parties.
Everybody says that.
Everybody says that. You know that. We don't need to repeat it because our listeners already know.
Yeah. I mean, Vegas is number two these days. Jackson, Michigan, number one bachelor party, central capital of the world.
Yeah. I think that's pretty well undisputed
right
at this point.
Right. So you got home late and you woke up early.
I did go home late, and I am a very routine oriented person.
I know.
I like to go to bed on time early, no matter how cool things are at night. And no matter how much fun is happening or who we're with or what's going on, like, no, bedtime is more important to me. But last night I pushed it a little bit.
What time do you normally go to bed?
Like 10, 10:30.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Well, that's why you're dragging a little bit this morning, but we'll pep you. I'll pep you up. How about that?
All right. Thanks. Woo! Yeah. I knew I could count on you.
Yeah. Right on. What else? Anything else going on in the world of Kyle and the new house?
Well, the wedding is tomorrow for my sister. That was why we had a bachelor party yesterday. It's a lot of prep for that. We're going to have house guests running around today to help decorate the reception venue and the rehearsal dinner and all that stuff, wedding stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know how it goes.
Do we like the guy that your sister's marrying?
He's all right.
Does your sister listen to this podcast?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
But you like him?
I like the guy. Yeah. He's pretty cool.
So a quick shout out to your sister and future brother-in-law. Congratulations from Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
What's up with you, man?
So at the time of this recording, I did not go to WordCamp Los Angeles. It happened this past weekend after this comes out, and I really wanted to go. I was going to try to surprise my SoCal peeps. I wasn't supposed to go because I was supposed to be at WordCamp Wilmington, which was canceled because of the floods down to Wilmington, North Carolina. They're still struggling. The bridges are closed. The rivers are overflowing, so no Wilmington. So some people reached out, hey, Adam, why don't you come to LA? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. But I did actually really look into it, and I really did want to go. I was going to try to go early, so then if that was the case, we wouldn't be recording now, because I was going to try to do some client visits, and I just signed a new client in Southern Cal. Anyway, so I wanted to go surprise them, see my parents, go to WordCamp, didn't go. So I'm sure it was great.
I love that you go to so many of them that it's newsworthy when you don't go to one.
Well, they reached out. I mean, like, you know, Jen and Steven both emailed me and said, and called, hey, you're not going to Wilmington. It's canceled. We saw. Why don't you come to LA? And Greg Franklin, too, said the same thing. And then Jen said, hey, we've had some cancellations on speakers. Can you step up? Can you come out and speak? I'm like, ah. The problem is, even though I was going to be out of town anyways, and Ellen's out of town for work, I was 2 hours away in Wilmington. Versus, you know, a 6 hour flight kind of thing, you know, 2,500 miles away. And so Ellen's on the West Coast also. So the kids for 4 days would have been tough. You know, so I just removed it from the calendar completely and didn't go.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
It is what it
That's
is.
That's okay. You and the kids probably had fun.
I'm sure we did because I don't know, who knows. So yeah, at the time of this recording, I mean, I have some, now that the rains have stopped here, I have a ton of yard work to do. Leaves, branches, you know, and
I can see clearly now the rain. Okay, yes, continue.
Yeah, and I got to mow the lawn and stuff, but the ground is really wet, so it's going to leave track marks, which I hate. I hate track marks in my lawn. It's so sad.
Like, you know, like worse.
The rolls from the wheels of the lawnmower. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh my gosh, such a first world problem.
Yeah, it is. So then I'm also just managing my time and my clients and trying to not be stressed out with the amount of the workload I have. I'm actually looking to interview and hire somebody, another person, to do some baseline maintenance stuff, like to help my lower end stuff out. And you and I talked about some stuff as well in that realm. So, you know.
Right. Whether or not I'm qualified for the position.
Exactly. Yeah. For one of the positions.
Yeah. It sounds like no.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but if I keep working and
if you study, if you're diligent and invest in your education, one day I might bring you on. Anyway.
I can only dream.
So anyway, is there anything else you wanted to share with your, you said in the notes there, it says you're picking up sticks. You're still picking up sticks from the tornado?
Oh, gee. Yeah, I think I'll be picking up sticks for the rest of my life, basically. There's a lot of trees here.
Yeah.
And I had a burn barrel. I was just like burning through sticks the other day. And you wouldn't believe, like, I'm spending hours and hours, and doesn't it look like I made a difference?
Isn't that the worst? That's why I'm borderline. People always say, do what you're good at, outsource the rest. I am so close to just seriously hiring a gardener, because I can mow the lawn and I can trim some stuff, but. And then I just take a step back and I'm like, what did I do? You know, like, it looks like I need more. I just, when they come in, they just do it. They crank it out. They know what they're doing, and, you know, and they clean it up and it's done. I'm like, I might be worth, you know, $40 every 2 weeks. I don't know, you know.
Sure.
Anyway,
sure.
Better use of the time. Anyway. All right. Well, that's it in our lives. Moving on to the news.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
Yeah, that was kind of loud. Sorry about that. Well, you have different earbuds in, so mine's fine.
Yeah,
I can control my volume for my headphones. Anyway, so the news. I put one thing in there that I saw recently. WP Forms has acquired Pirate Forms, and then they discontinued it. So WP Forms is owned by what's the company?
Awesome Motive,
which is Optin Monster and other things.
Yeah, WP Beginner.
Oh, right. Syed Balki's company.
Google, the
analytics.
Monster Insights, right.
So apparently they acquired Pirate Forms and then they discontinued it, but not really just to upset people, because Pirate Forms was part of Theme Isle, I believe, at one point. And then they had
a product of theirs.
And then they had 300,000 users, but I guess it's a cash deal. And if you are a user of Pirate Forms, you'll be able to migrate over to WP Forms. So,
It's just a user grab.
Right. That's all it was.
They just bought the users.
Right. Pretty cool, though. So, I mean, I'm sure that Theme Isle did, I think it was like, I think they got $7.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I know it. The terms
started here.
The terms were not disclosed, so that's all I know. $7.
Right.
Can you imagine? Yeah, I'll sell you my 300,000 users for $7. That's not a really good ROI.
No, probably not. Unless they're really bad users.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes form users are good people. Slider people. No, I'm kidding. I don't want to get you started.
Oh, jeez.
Right.
Watch it.
Yeah.
I think that we'll see. We're seeing so much of this all the time. It's just another sign of the continued consolidation of the market.
Right.
There are so many products out there that, like, the market doesn't really need, because there are other alternatives that do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as markets mature, that stuff kind of gets worked out and things just consolidate.
Right.
Until the only things left that exist are things which are truly differentiated from each other. But that's still, I mean, that's a slow process, because WordPress is still kind of a young market, and there are tons of these products which, like, developers threw together because
early on, and they had an itch that needed to be scratched.
Yeah. And so many developers are just like, well, I'll just build it myself because I can.
Right.
That's kind of our attitude.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to use somebody else's thing. I could make it a little bit better.
You heard it here, and you heard Kyle say it. Developers have attitudes. That's the name of this episode. It's the attitude episode. Have the right attitude.
Or
consult. I mean, I'm trying to think of a theme here. I don't know. Okay.
I don't know. There's good tools out there, and you can use them, or you can make your own. I don't know. A lot of people in our industry have had the tendency to just say, I'll make it myself. I'm not even going to look for another solution, because I think I know how to make it, and so why wouldn't I?
Right. And that's why I'm going to come up with a new form company of my own called Weightless Forms.
What?
Weightless? Instead of gravity.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay. They're not all gems. Oh, man. Moving on. Yeah, so I got two people who have made some changes. You tell the first one, I'll tell the second one.
Russell Aaron got a job took a new job at, he said, a casino, because he lives in Las Vegas.
Right.
So they had a web dev position, apparently. I didn't see in any comments the specifics of the place, but it probably doesn't matter.
Right.
But now he is working in an office job,
right,
like going to work at a casino in their web department.
And he was actually, his little post on it was actually a positive, good thing, because it gives him, I guess, the balance of time out of the house. It's just, it changes things up, right? I mean, you and I both know we work from home. In theory, we work for ourselves, but you know, we're remote, but it's hard to work from home because of distractions and family and stuff, right? So
it's true. Just last week, we talked about Joel Worsham,
right?
Or maybe it was the week before,
yeah,
taking a job in Indianapolis, where he's going to an office every day for their web dev stuff.
Yeah, I was just literally, I was downtown Raleigh yesterday at City Club, and I work from home. I want to enjoy the home office more. I'm just not happy with some of the, I mean, it's just not super comfortable yet. I'm missing a chair. I have nothing on the walls still. It's been a year. But I'm thinking maybe if I was actually thinking, what if I rented an office space, like just close by, you know, but then the money doesn't make sense. But that way we'd use it. I'm like, what would I use this room for? In Avalon, my daughter was like, storage, because we have this other big dining room that's empty still, no dining room table. I'm like, no, we can make it a, you know, a workout room or a guest room. She goes, for how many guests? I'm like, we have nowhere to put people. She goes, well, who would stay with us? I go, well, the Mowers came. They didn't stay with us. Well, because we didn't have anywhere for them to stay.
Yeah.
So if we had
you
room.
You could turn it into an escape room if you want to.
Oh, nice.
That would be fun.
Just lock you in for the 24 hours. If you don't get out, yeah. So, all right.
Oh, yeah, those are fun.
So congrats.
I would love to have one in my house.
Yeah. So congrats to Russell on the new job. I'm happy for him. Actually, Ro, do you know Russell in person? Have you met him?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think actually he might have been at the Airbnb that you and I were at in Ann Arbor. That
yes,
house.
He yeah. was.
So funniest story. I want to mention this story because I mentioned this to somebody yesterday. He's young. You're much younger than me. He was out, came home really late. He wanted to carpool with me, Uber with me to the airport. And my Uber was like at 5:30 in the morning. I told him, he and I shared a room, you know, in this house that we had, right? And I get up and shower and get ready and I pack up and I leave. My Uber's there at 5:30. And I'm like, Russell. And he came in, I think he came in like at 3:30 in the morning.
They were out late.
Oh, I remember now. He was drinking. And I remember hearing him in the bathroom. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't do so well in the morning. So I was like, I'm leaving. I got to catch my plane. And then literally, I think he realized I was downstairs about to get in the car. And he like taps on the window from the upstairs bedroom. He's like, wait, give me 2 minutes. He opens the window. He's like, give me 2 minutes. I'm like, okay, so wait. And he just put everything in it and he get in the car. Yeah. The only benefit was for waiting for him was I think he expensed the Uber trip. So I'm like, it was a good investment on my part. But I felt bad. He was like totally hungover. He was not.
Oh, my God.
He was green. He was totally green. I'd love that.
Wow. Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah.
And poor guy for embarrassing him on the show.
Right. Right on. Okay. The other person who's made a change is Chris Wegman, is now working over at WP Engine. He was at the University of Florida, I believe. One of the Florida universities.
They have a couple in the state.
Yeah.
So he worked at one of them.
He's with one of the higher ed universities in Florida. He's left that. He's now over at WP Engine. And I was mentioning this to just think about it. He's had a lot of, he's moved around. He's taken some really interesting opportunities in the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I can think of like 4 places that Chris has worked.
I mean, is that good or bad? it is what it is. You know, he likes a challenge and he wants to keep growing and kind of doing different things, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I've learned so much from him from WPCLI.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I've gone to his WPCLI talk probably 3 or 4 times, different camps. And I asked him, I go, is it the same? He's like, it's similar to the same. I go, you know what? Doesn't matter. I'm still going to sit in because I still learn something every time from him.
Yeah.
You know,
you remember that he was the one who made Better WP Security?
Yes. Yes.
And then it became iTheme Security. When he worked with them.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. He's done some cool stuff.
He
in
has.
The space.
Super yep. smart. Yeah.
Oh, great. And such a nice guy. And isn't he like a pilot? Like he can.
I think so.
I think
yeah.
he has a pilot license and
yeah.
flies airplanes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty
cool guy.
Yeah. So very cool. All right. Congratulations to both of them for the moves and moving on to our next segment. What you wearing, what you're wearing, what you're drinking now. What you wearing, what you're wearing, what you're drinking now. All right. I'm going to go first. So I'm drinking coffee, just normal coffee. I'm actually wearing, and out of respect to that, today, the recording of this episode of recording this is WordCamp Los Angeles 2018. So I'm wearing a WordCamp Los Angeles t-shirt 20 16. I had to look down. So yeah, can you see it or no?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Did I get you one of these?
No, you got me 27. Okay, no, yeah. 2017.
Yeah, so too bad. So I'm wearing the actual, I'm just wearing the shirt from 2016. And I'm reading, you know, like everything, I'm reading tons of books still. I haven't started the Robin Williams one yet, but I'm reading Fall Until You Don't, another Jack Reacher book, and, you know, et cetera. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'm moving through the books I'm reading, like, you know, like the library. You are not. Okay, go on. What are you drinking, reading, watching?
Jeez. Okay, I'm wearing a WordCamp US 2017 t-shirt. Nice. I'm drinking some coffee and I'm reading Stephen King's The Drawing of the Three.
Okay. Oh, man.
It's really funny to you, isn't it?
No. It just makes me want to weep.
You have endless amusement here.
Yes, we do. Right, Dustin? Okay. Anyway, so hey Kyle, guess what time it is?
It's time for me to get out of here and go take a nap. I'm done with this.
Wow, that's a good guess, but it's not. It's actually this time. That's right. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Hey Kyle, wake up. Wake up, Kyle. You're sleeping at the microphone. What? Do not podcast and sleep. It's like, do not drink and drive. That's awesome. All right. You want to ask the first one?
Yep. Emily Patterson sent us this question. It's a great question. Thank you, Emily, for sending it. It was very sweet. Looking for advice on how to stay in touch in a non-annoying, natural way with former clients and contacts, like people I meet at conferences, former coworkers, etc.
Okay.
Thanks, Emily, for the cool question.
Very cool question. A couple options here. So she said not annoying and natural, but not annoying / in a natural way. So that did not mean not in an awkward way. So my first option is possibly awkward. Maybe using many of those online services, you can look up their home address if you don't already have it, show up at their house or their apartment with a casserole or a fruitcake and say, hi, I'd like to break bread with you, if you will. I'd like to, here's something, I thought you might want this.
Right. Right. Because I did some reading about you and I know your allergies and your food preferences.
Right. Here's a casserole that's vegan.
That would delight anyone.
Vegan and gluten-free, paleo, and or a fruitcake. Because who doesn't like fruitcake?
Yeah.
You know, that's one. Okay. The other awkward option I have is just randomly, just give them a call. You know, you have their number and ask who their dentist is. Whether or not you need a dentist, but it just starts a conversation.
You need conversation starters.
Hey, who's your dentist? And just, you know, it's not annoying. Okay. It's a natural. It's a conversation starter. It's awkward, but why not? Yeah.
Right.
You have any options?
You could always send them a message that says, "I'd like to join your professional network on LinkedIn."
Oh, see, that's too. That's like rock solid.
Yes.
Yeah. You went that way to start.
Natural, it's not annoying, it's so genuine.
Okay.
Send them that message and connect with them on LinkedIn.
Okay. All right.
And that's where you can do things that are just so meaningful and touching, like say, congratulations on your work anniversary. That'll just be so meaningful. You'll stand out.
Okay. All right. The other I have three categories of options here. So again, not annoying. The first option was an awkward possibility. The other ones are creepy. Maybe just mail them a lock of your hair.
What?
Well, that way you see the response to see if they want to be friends with you outside of a work environment.
If this doesn't impress you,
right?
Then I don't want to be friends.
Right. And on that same line, maybe send them a bottle of mouthwash. That way you can have a clean, refreshing conversation with them.
That's all it takes.
Right? I'm just...
All right.
Yes, creepy, but not annoying. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
I would say just keep sending them cash every month.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because nobody's going to be annoyed. They'll always be happy to hear from you.
See, I would take that to one step. I would make it a slight askew. I would send them a Starbucks gift card, but for 10 cents less than the actual cup of a coffee.
That is so annoying.
See? Oh, you're right. That would be annoying. Okay, my bad. You're right. That's the annoying. That's okay. Forget that one.
Just send them, just all your contacts that you want to stay in touch with, just every month, just send them more cash.
Wow. So it's like 1-800.
It means the more contacts you have, it's the more money you
rent,
have to spend.
Rent a friend, just, is what you're saying. Rent a client.
It's just the cost of doing business, just staying in touch with people. Everybody will like you. You'll be the most popular person.
Okay. So I have another option here for you, you know, Emily, as far as maybe some better options versus my first two sets. Maybe, you know, send out a newsletter to clients in general, you know, through, you know, your, if you have an email newsletter system, you know, that we kind of let them peep what's going on in the, in your world, but also in that newsletter, share any industry information that might be relevant to their industry, that kind of thing separately. So a newsletter for all your clients about what's happening in your business, but also what's happening in regards to web. So it might be, it might help them kind of stay in touch. A holiday card or a small gift, you know, a birthday card, same kind of thing. Yeah. So I really do, you know, I like the idea of the newsletter, but also I really like the idea of if you want to have them one-to-one, if you see something, you can put them some keyword alerts in like Google Alerts. If their industry is, you know, like environmental engineering or fashion, whatever it may be, send them something that they might find interesting. So you can just say, hey, I saw this, thought about you. Here's a great, interesting article that they could use for their blog or something, you know, kind of reference it.
Which holidays do you think are the most important to send cards? Like, I'm thinking the big ones, like Talk Like a Pirate Day, World Oceans Day, Ryan Seacrest's birthday, just like the important holidays. But is there any that you think are also important?
I think possibly summer solstice.
Okay.
You know,
so I can't believe I left that one out.
Right. So, I mean, that's obvious. It's like, it's a no brainer. Also possibly, you know, daylight savings.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's two on that for the, you know, spring
right.
forward,
twice
fall
per
back.
Year. Okay.
Hey, you know,
we're already up to like six.
Right. I think that's plenty. I think that's good.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
none of the others matter.
Nope. Not at all. Yeah. So let me ask you real quick. Did Real Big Marketing ever send out holiday cards to clients or holiday gifts?
We did every year during the Christmas season.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally just put in my notes of my own task list for this year to send to a handful of clients this year, a happy holidays from Concierge WP. I might include a small token gift or something. I'm not sure. Maybe I might send them a basket. I don't know. Cause some of my clients have been really good to me. You know,
wow. Yeah, that's nice.
You know, it's been good both ways. So I kind of want to acknowledge that. I really do. So, yeah.
Yeah. And definitely include like a little photo of you. Maybe I'll even pick out which photo.
Ooh, what if I do send them a calendar, like 12 months of Adam?
I wish he would do that. Just send it to me. Too.
Okay. Yeah. It's just
I have input on which pictures get used.
Okay, so here's the funny thing though, is actually at one point, so my buddy Damon, who does not listen to this podcast, he'll never hear this. I had an idea. I'll have to show you this. I worked on it for a couple off and on. I was gonna send him a new calendar, new, not nude, and it was really inappropriate because I was living in Colorado at the time when I had this idea. I guess he had heard about what are they called? They're like Colorado oysters? No, wait, that's not the right word. What's I can't think of the right term. But anyway, it's a food, but they're from part of a cow. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
So I was gonna send a calendar of that for 12 months. You know, 12 photos of various angles. I don't know.
That was such a great idea. I can't believe you didn't do it.
Right. But I was going to send it to him like anonymously, technically, and also just like, just happy, you know, happy new year. And I had like a name of a little site, like, I don't know, awkward calendars or whatever it was, or I forgot what it was. It was years ago. Yeah. So I'll have to show it to you sometime.
Okay.
What I had worked on. So yeah. Anyway. So
that's funny.
I'm going to do a calendar though. 12 months of Adam. Well, I will. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Enough of that. So okay. Do you have anything right. else you want to add to this? Because I think we've given her some good options.
A couple. Yeah, sure. I've got more.
Yeah.
I think one little tip is be selective. As your business grows and your Rolodex, if you will, expands, you just simply cannot keep in contact with a huge number of people and still be authentic and meaningful all the time. So you really do need to think about the kinds of contacts who are most important to you. And you're going to need to just like be pragmatic about this and figure out what is worth your time. You can keep generally in touch with a lot of people, but to have that personal touch, which is the most important, you're going to need to be selective. Whatever your strategy is for figuring out who's the most important, well, that's up to you. That could be a separate question and would be fun to discuss. Like, how do you determine what are your most important contacts? I would emphasize that those important contacts may not only be client prospects. They could be a lot of other types of people. I look back on my business and, you know, obviously it's important to stay in touch with prospective clients, but some other parties made even more significant impacts on the business, maybe potential strategic partners, mentors, vendors, or, you know, like if you're doing things, creating content, like guests and sponsors, those kinds of relationships can be very important to maintain.
Mm-hmm. It's a good reminder. So, I should send something to my sponsors.
Think outside of the box, like those relationships which actually matter to you.
Right, right, right. Smart. Yeah. And by the way, just they're called Rocky Mountain Oysters. That's what they're called.
Oh, okay.
There you go. So now I think you get the visual.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought us back to that moment.
Yes, I figured you might be.
Emily mentioned events, like people she meets at conferences. I think repeating events is really good, because that gives you an opportunity to cross paths repeatedly, and really no amount of digital communication can compare to multiple in-person encounters. So if you met at events, you can use that as a basis for making contact. It's one of the cool things that I like think is really worth the time. Reach out to people and say, hey, I'm going to this event. Are you going to be there? It would be cool to see you again.
Right. Love to catch up. You know, exactly.
Yeah. It's a great conversation starter. Mm-hmm. It enhances the encounter if it happens. It makes you look considerate.
That's a really good one, Kyle.
And it informs them of events that they might be into.
Yeah. That's really strong. I'm pleasantly surprised at this time of the morning for you that you have that one.
Even if you didn't meet at an event, you can reach out to contacts and tell them, hey, I saw this event was coming up and I thought you might be interested. Just letting you know, hope all's well. Those kinds of things are good conversation starters. They do make you look like you're very thoughtful and considerate, like you care a little bit about what they might need. You're looking out for them.
What about this? I have one more thought on this. What about hosting your own event? If you're in your local, you know, neighborhood, city, town, right, county, whatever it may be, and if you have enough clients that are local to you, hosting some sort of one of two things, either like an event where you're going to do some presentations so it's free for them to come to, you know, get together, and or even if you just host a holiday event during the holiday season, right, during summer solstice, hey, I'm gonna do a barbecue.
yeah
and invite them to come, you know, that kind of thing.
I think that's great, especially if you have a lot of locally based clients. And contacts,
right?
That's awesome. We've done things like that in the past, organized like some dinner events and cookouts for friends of our company and clients. That was really fun. And it's a popular strategy for businesses to organize like exclusive invite only type events. Mm-hmm. And those are really, really great for like strengthening relationships and elevating your status and perception of you and your brand.
Yeah.
I was just at my Toastmasters Club this week, and someone was giving a speech about like a guy who owns a manufacturing company, and they're putting together like a 1-day seminar type event that's pretty exclusive, reaching out to many of their top contacts, executives at companies who would be potential partners or clients, and organizing this pretty high level, high value event with a few top notch speakers talking about the future of their industry. And providing, you know, lunch and a nice setting and atmosphere, and putting together something that's really cool, high value for everyone involved, elevates their status as a potential provider for all of these people. Yeah. And strengthens a lot of relationships.
Yeah, smart. I'm going to do that. Seriously.
Yeah. They're a bit of work to orchestrate.
Yeah. I mean, I've had
they're hard to do, especially if your client base and your contacts are not highly localized.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's good stuff. Great question. Great ideas out there for you. So, good. All right, I will ask the next one. This was, again, this is you put out some forms at the tabletops at WordCamp Jackson. And the question that you asked for some feedback on was, this was sent in by, how do you say this? Nehemiah Harmson. They ask, what is the biggest question? The question you asked was, what is the biggest question related to WordPress or the web or your work that you're struggling with right now? And they wrote back, how to find good themes and companies, deciding about builders and the tools so that each website project isn't starting from scratch. And it's a great, you know, dilemma, I suppose, you know, and not that they asked.
It is a little bit
of a dilemma. It comes back.
It's so funny how like the definition of starting from scratch has changed when you think about Like, if you are starting with vanilla WordPress, you are not starting from scratch.
Not anymore. No.
No, like WordPress sets you up like so far ahead.
Right. From like, even 5 years ago.
So,
yeah.
So much.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the basic answer is, how do you find good themes? You know, you got to try things and read reviews and get recommendations, you know, and then you build that tool, your own toolbox of what you use. We all have it. You know, I use Beaver Builder. I use Gravity Forms. I'll use Seed Prod for coming soon. I mean, yeah, we have our go-to tools, right? As our baseline.
Right. Right.
But how do you find it? I mean, honestly, I'm not sure if Nehemiah is he or she or they. So they, my answer to you is, trial and error, referral, recommendations, you know, and then, you know, once you get to know, here's the thing. I always hear people saying that they want to learn like five different themes. I'm like, well, that's a lot of themes to learn, you know, and you're right. You don't want to start from scratch. I want to know. So I know one or two, I know one theme really well. I used to use the Headway theme solely. I switched. I use Beaver Builder solely at the moment. You know, I maintain other themes. I know enough about, you know, the other popular ones, because if it's a client that comes to me for help, I didn't build it. That's what it is. If I do build it or we rebuild it, it's always going to be in our toolbox, right?
Yeah,
it needs to be in my wheelhouse, if you will. I hate that wheelhouse. It's a corporate comment. Ugh. Anyway, so how do you find? Yeah, find meetups, online forums. That's how you find them.
I wouldn't be so quick to bash starting from scratch.
Okay. Well, okay. But see, what's your definition of scratch?
Well, what's my definition?
Is this scratch right here? This
guy? Yeah. Oh yeah. What the?
I'm showing Kyle, you know, $100 bills and you know, a wad of money.
That is not Monopoly money.
No, it's not.
Okay. Okay. Are you going to a bachelor party tonight?
Hey, now. I cannot confirm nor deny.
Okay. I want to make. I don't know if this will be a popular response, but I think it's important that you don't like really emphasize this idea of like starting from something that's almost there. It's not that bad to start from scratch. There are a few benefits that I observed over years of running a business like this. One is you won't be including anything unnecessary if you are starting more from scratch. So as you build the project, you will be really creating something that is bespoke, that is more tailored closely to the needs of the customer, as opposed to bundling in a lot of tools that you may need. And that's nice. Another is, it makes it easier to evolve your approach. Now, this is kind of important because unless you're turning out an incredibly high volume of projects that are very similar to others, your process will evolve quite quickly. So like, I don't know exactly numbers, but I could have like rough estimates. We did this for years and we're not turning out a high volume of projects. Like we might launch a website every other month maybe during very busy times with small projects, it might be one website every month. And during slow times with huge projects, it might be a website every quarter. But with a volume like that, and especially Nehemiah, I know, is a freelancer and operating independently, and is probably operating with similar output. When you're working like that, it might be like every four or five projects, you might look back and see that your process has completely changed, like just in that time. Like what, that's like, that might like be 1 year. You launch five websites in a year. You start at the same time next year and your process is totally different because with each project, it is evolving. You're discovering a few new plugins. You're falling out of favor with a few others. Some that you were using maybe now kind of suck, or they were deprecated, they were sold. You've had a bad support experience, so you dumped it. Some other things you discovered, you went to a WordCamp and somebody turned you on to some hot new tools. So you learned a new skill.
So you're saying that the toolbox and is always being added to and removed from. Tools change.
Constantly, and as do your skills. Mm-hmm. Over the course of a year, you might suddenly find yourself very proficient in something like CSS. And now you don't really need the same level of tools. Maybe you learned how to use Git and you've decided that you're going to start like managing your style sheets in GitHub and writing your CSS on your own that way, because there are a lot of benefits to that approach. And a year ago, you didn't have that skill. So now your process is different. When your output is small like this, like you're only doing a single digit number of projects over the course of a year, I can guarantee that if you're continuing to learn and reflect on how projects went well and which ones didn't, your process will evolve and you will be changing the tools you use. You will be adding skills. You will be just doing things differently. And so if you are starting more from scratch each time, this allows you to evolve your process a little bit more. And I guarantee that each time you start a project, you will be doing it just a little bit differently than the last one. Well, that's important. That's important to remember. Allow yourself for that. Don't worry too much, especially early in your business when you haven't been doing this for years and years. Don't work too hard to develop a complete turnkey automated system because you will very quickly find that you developed it in a way that isn't perfect and you've got to tweak it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. Some people want the, you know, packages that, like, you know, I talked to somebody yesterday and, you know, bespoke versus a package. It's hard if you hire a salesperson. This is the conversation I had yesterday with somebody in Raleigh was, if you hire a salesperson, they can sell a package easier than they can sell custom. If they don't know if they don't know what you do. You say, here, totally. Here's package A, B, or C, you know, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000, great. Because it's, you know, you're going to get these options and that's it. The minute you want bespoke, the minute you want custom website, now it's a whole separate conversation where prices start at $10,000, $15,000. That's the different conversation, right?
Right.
So you're right. You're right. Yeah. Okay.
You need to have that expertise to, you know, offer those solutions. And it does remind you also when you're starting from scratch, that means something different to everybody. That saving minutes by having things pre-configured or even hours by using pre-made tools is actually less important. Like, you're not going to catapult yourself into profitability and prosperity by like automating a couple more things. That's not really going to be the driver of your success. You need to focus more energy on the consulting and helping the customer solve hard problems and doing a really good job with that. You don't want to be an assembly line worker churning out templated sites for low budget clients who think they're buying an online brochure. You need to instead be the engineer who uses their creativity to develop amazing solutions to the client's real problems in ways the client could never have imagined themselves. So it's your expertise which will catapult you to success. It's not choosing the right tools that allow you to shave a few minutes off of your project build.
Right. Wow. That was well said. I have nothing else to mention that.
I have one recommendation about it, and that is schedule a full day or even two if you can swing it. Beforehand, sketch out a website concept, which is comparable to what you build for clients. It's fairly simple. But then take that day or two and spin up a local site for each tool set you're looking at and actually try them all in detail. it's one thing to ask a lot of people, right. ask your favorite podcast hosts a question like this, or throw this question out at a WordCamp, or ask your friends at a meetup. It's one thing to ask around. It's another to just actually use these tools for a few hours. You know, give like get your hands on Divi, Elementor, Visual Composer, Beaver Builder, Make Plus, Gutenberg, X Theme, all of these. Like, actually try them. Give each one like 2 hours of your time or 3 hours of your time. Try to build the same website with each one.
Right.
And make notes along the way. Like, this will be a completely invaluable experience. You can probably squeeze this in somewhere. It'll be totally worth your time.
Right. Actually,
and I guarantee at the end you will have at least one that stood out as intuitive and efficient, one that you were able to like accurately create the site that you had conceptualized. And others that stood out as like a little bit, you know, slow, tedious to use, missing features that you expected, upselling things that you took for granted, mm-hmm. and so on. And you'll have an opinion there in the end. And like, I like this approach because I do believe each tool kind of has a place, and everybody has their own style. So you're going to find the one that works best for you, and that's fine.
I actually did that. If you recall, WordCamp San Diego, I did a quick and easy theming with page builders. You know, like, so I did the same site three different ways.
Right.
And I went through it first. I had to do it. I had to practice before the presentation because at the time was, you know, and I didn't get to the third one, but I did, you know, Beaver Builder, Headway, and Divi, right? So, yeah. And I used the same graphics, and it's just, and I went through the whole process and how to do this. You can do the same thing in multiple different ways. It's just what works best for you. What's the best, you know, it comes down to that personal preference also.
Yeah, it's really helpful because they all try to solve the same problems in different ways. So it allows you to find the one that just like makes sense to you.
Right.
Find the tool that you feel like, wow, I can do stuff with it. I can get sites built fast with this tool because it just makes sense to me.
Right.
We did the same concept that you talked about at a meetup with form plugins, mm-hmm. where we tried to build something with six different plugins in one day, and it was one of the best meetups we've ever had. Afterwards, we all got to talk about like what we took away from it, which ones we liked, which ones we didn't. It was awesome. I might do that same concept again at another meetup.
That's a good idea. Okay, moving on to our segment. This week's segment is Do and Queue, which we have no music for. Do and Queue, Do and Queue, Do and Queue, Do and Queue. this one is where we list, we give you some things that you should put in your queue, to things to do, listen to, read, something like that, right? You want to go first or you want me to go first?
I've got probably 10 things in my list.
I have three categories, one, two, and like five things total, four things.
Okay. I'll drop my first three.
Okay.
I just recently watched the pilot episode for Jim Carrey's new show called Kidding.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I'm pretty interested in watching the rest of it because this looks like a unique show.
What's it on? What's the source of it?
Netflix, maybe? I don't know. So I would check it out. And I'm going to
Showtime. It's on Showtime.
Okay, I'm stupid.
Okay.
Season two of Up and Vanished is out. And Up and Vanished was like one of the most, it was like one of the best podcasts of last year. It was nuts. It started in 2016. Season one ended in 2017. And it was about a missing persons case. And it was a cold case. And that, it was like an amazing podcast. Because Payne Lindsay, the host of the show, went deep and dug stuff up and like stirred things up to the point where the case ended up actually getting resolved in the end, with the podcast playing a huge role in that.
Wow.
Like actually affecting the real case because it stirred up so much, got so many people talking, drew like a tremendous audience, and like drew out people who had been quiet about the case for many years. And so it was a game changer. It got huge. And so the same show is starting a season two on another missing persons case. So it's Up and Vanished. I highly recommend it. It's a binge-worthy season last year. Just an amazing story.
Cool.
So totally worthwhile checking out that one. And a blog post, my third choice, written by Morten Rand Hendrickson. He wrote about WordPress and LTS. I recommend you read that.
Latter-day Saints? Oh, LTS.
LTS, yes. He opened a track ticket, which is basically the same thing that was in his blog post. It relates to how WordPress approaches this fracture where there is the Gutenberg editor and the legacy editor. And that's a difficult thing to handle. His analogy is that he starts with is like putting using the legacy editor plugin, the classic version, is like putting a Band-Aid on a hole in a balloon, because as the balloon continues to expand, the Band-Aid doesn't work anymore. It'll eventually not work because it doesn't expand with the balloon. So it's a very temporary solution to the problem, and Morton is trying to propose something that it will be best for the project. And I think it is a really fascinating potential solution. It aligns well with the project's values and is worth a read.
And just for clarification, I had to look it up. LTS stands for long-term support.
That's correct.
Thank you. Okay, cool. All right. Interesting things in your queue. I'm intrigued by two out of the three so far. That's awesome. Should I do one of mine?
Yeah.
So I'll do my podcast one first. I'll kind of go backwards. So I have two podcasts in my queue. One of them is Fast Company Magazine. They have a podcast called Secrets of the Most Productive People. You know me, I like to try to, you know, inspire myself to be productive. It's interesting. It really is. And they interview some really fascinating people. So it's by Fast Company. And the other one is called Zigzag. I don't know if I mentioned this in the past or not.
I think you have.
Yeah, but I'm going to mention it again because season one's done. Season two starts in October. Zigzag is a podcast about changing the course of capitalism, journalism, and women's lives for real. And they're doing this on the Civil platform, which is going to be an open source, token-based system where you can invest in and help support, and you have a vote in the way they report and do journalism. It's pretty interesting. I don't think I'm going to invest that aspect of it as far as going through the token sale, which I think happened a few days ago, and it's a fascinating story. And I like them. I like them as people. Anish and I can't think of the other host. Oh, actually, here it's right here. Manoush. I'm sorry, Manoush and Jen. And they used to work for NPR, I think, out of New York. They quit their jobs. Go back and listen to season one. Don't totally binge that. I think it's worth it. And so it's interesting to me.
I'll give you three more.
Okay.
I have been binging the Disgraceland podcast. It is about the bad folks in the music industry who we idolize. Like, somehow these people get away with a lot. Music industry historically has been really dominated by a lot of people who are a little questionable when it comes to their actions and their ethics. And so it dives into the stories in like a really well-produced, super well-written, very poetic way. The stories of like crazy characters like the Stones and Sid Vicious, Jerry Lee Lewis, James Brown, John Lennon, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, and all these other people with like crazy backstories. Motley Crue, oh my gosh, all these folks who were just nuts. So all the drugs and the crime and the just obstinance, they're really cool stories. And I really like these kinds of stories. I don't know what it is, maybe that I am drawn to stories that like take people down a lot off of pedestals.
Right. Yeah.
Just knock them all down. I love those kinds of stories. Any kind of story that just like takes gods of our race and just brings them down to human level is a story that I get into. So that's an awesome podcast. That's really fun to listen to. A book, A Good Firm Handshake, was written by Michelle Ames. It's available on Amazon. And Michelle is a friend of ours who works over on the customer success department at WordPress, where they work on the GiveWP plugin and others. She's great. She knows a lot about business and wrote this helpful book full of great business tips. Yeah. I highly recommend it. And I also have been enjoying bunnyears.com.
Okay.
It's a humorous website, kind of a satirical one, put on by Macaulay Culkin and friends.
Yes,
it's
I have great. Heard of this. Yeah.
They have some of the best comedy writers around writing hysterical articles. And it's kind of like a satirical response to some of those super uppity lifestyle websites like Goop.com.
I'm laughing because I'm at the site right now and I'm reading.
Gwyneth Paltrow has a website that's like just so pretentious. And so Bunny Ears is kind of like a response to those with these similarly framed articles, but totally comical.
This is from 2 days ago. I just went to the site right now. I haven't been here in a long time and I forgot about it until right now, but I remember here's a headline. I'm sorry. This is too bad. I'm going to share it though. How many lemons is too many lemons when it comes to stuffing your butthole? Yeah, that's. I got to read that later.
They're not all super crude.
No.
But they are all hilarious.
Yeah,
hilarious. There's a corresponding podcast as well that is pretty good. All right, what else you got?
Okay. Oh, sorry. It's going to be awesome. So I'm going to do TV video for this one. So I did podcast. So TV video, Billions. I binged all three seasons in the last, probably 9 or 10 weeks. So I just finished season 3. It's on Showtime. It's an amazing show. Paul Giamatti and Damian Lewis. It's adult oriented. It has language, because it's on Showtime. But if you don't know who to root for, who's a good guy, who's a bad guy, it's a great show. It's well scripted. It's funny. If you are in your 40s or older, there's a ton of references to some of the culture and the pop culture that we grew up with. And it's witty. It's well written. I really, really like the show. So yeah, it's a good show. That's on the TV side of things. And on video, I'm a sucker for the dodo, for animal dog rescues. when they catch the dog and then they can clean it up and it just gets a home and the tail starts wagging, I will just go down that rabbit hole, to no end. So yeah, didn't I send you the text a day or two ago that I'm done? I'm done looking for dogs. I'm not, when the dog finds me, it'll find me, our next dog. And then within a half an hour later of saying that to myself, I get an email from Frontier RTP, where I do some co-working. They're going to start having in October dog wags and brews days. They're going to bring foster dogs that need homes. I'm like, oh, it's not going to help me at all. So, but I'm trying to be done. I can't help. I want to rescue all the dogs.
All right. We'll get to it.
Yeah. Nice. So I have one more category, but you want to finish yours up first?
Yeah. I have been listening to a few really good interviews on the Joe Rogan podcast. Yeah. I mean, he's a legend. And when it comes to podcasting and interviewing people, it's always really good. He had Neil deGrasse Tyson on. That was amazing.
Never heard of him.
He actually interviewed Macaulay Culkin recently.
Never heard of him.
But the best one was Elon Musk, who was one of his most requested guests ever. And he got him on the show. And it was awesome. That guy is crazy. Mm-hmm. The discussion is wild, and it's kind of a must listen.
I've heard some people on another podcast talking about Elon. That is he okay? Like, is he gonna implode and whatever? He's an interesting character, to say the least.
He is not of our species. I think we all agree on that. Right. The Broken Record podcast is brand new. So anybody who knows me and we get talking about podcasts, we invariably will end up, because of me, talking about the greatest of all podcasts, revisionist history, Malcolm Gladwell's show. If you haven't listened to that, stop wasting your time on all other podcasts and listen to that one instead, because it's better. But Malcolm Gladwell also started another podcast, brand new. This one really focuses just on music, and it's called Broken Records. And the first episode was fantastic with guest Eminem. I loved it. And also on YouTube, our friend from the last episode, Sarah Dunn, has been posting some more good videos, as she does. But some of the recent ones she's been posting are really good. She has a YouTube channel. If you look for Sarah Dunn, that's D-U-N-N, you will find a lot of the videos that she posts giving advice and all the lessons that she's learning as she evolves her growing business. She had some really cool ones about her experience being a guest on a lot of podcasts, specializing and delegating These are hard things that all smart people running businesses still struggle with. She's sharing a lot of good lessons there. So definitely subscribe to her channel. And lastly, you got to tune into every Packers game because so far this season, they've been really good.
Okay. I just subscribed to Broken Records. There's only one episode that I see right now in my... That's weird. Mm-hmm. So November 10th. So it came out last year, November 10th, 2017 for Broken Record?
Yeah, maybe, I guess.
Only one episode?
Well, it was a good episode.
Okay, maybe it's the wrong one. Maybe I'm looking. Maybe I have a new feed. I don't know. All right, I'll check.
No. They'll probably. I don't know. Maybe they'll make more. Okay. We'll see.
All right. My last category is music, and this is kind of crazy. I don't listen to a ton of music. I mean, just when I run or work out, whatnot. But I dove a little bit into Spotify. My kids love Spotify. They want to pay me. They want me to pay for it for them, so they have premium. I'm not going to do that just yet. But they have some crazy deep playlists and curated content and music and workouts and meditation. So I've just been diving into Spotify a little bit. Not too much, maybe, you know, a half hour a day, just kind of poking around. So it's pretty interesting. So if you were looking for variety and variations of just things that you wouldn't think of that you might like, check it out. Check out some of the other playlists that they've curated. Pretty neat. So that's all. That's all I got. I think we're going to wrap it up here. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, listeners, for tuning into this great show. It was fun, right? I'm pretty much awake now. I'm not going to fall asleep after this. I'm going to get right to work. And so are you. But there's one thing that you need to do before you get back to work, and that is rate and review our show. Thanks. We love you for doing that. And also drop some questions our way because we need some more stuff. We had some good questions on the show today. Don't you agree? I agree. But we need some better questions for the next episode so we can just take this show to the next level. The only way to do that is compelling questions from you. Oh, and I think we still could accept some more submissions of a response to the questions that we posed to our listeners the other day. Right, Adam?
Absolutely.
Yeah, one of these episodes now we're going to get around to curating the responses that we've gotten. So we posted two questions. I think I can remember what the questions were. And we wanted to hear your answers, dear listener. One was... What do you do with side projects that have gone stagnant? And how do you make a decision about whether to like let them go or double down on them or find a partner or sell them or so on? And also the other question was, I want to go live in another place for 1 month next summer with my wife and daughter. Where should I go and why?
Right. Those are good.
All right, so send your answers to those questions. Questions@getoptionspodcast.com is our email address. You can go to our website, getoptionspodcast.com. You can leave us a voicemail. That would be super fun. Or dump something into our contact form there on the contact page.
Right. You can find us online, get_options on Twitter. Kyle's at Twitter @MrKyleMauer. I'm over at @HeyAdamSilver. And we're on SoundCloud @get_options. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.